Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My pleasure, as always, to be with you. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, she is our good friend and right there in the D.C. area. Many of you listening over WDMV, D.C. Radio 700 out of Frederick, Maryland. Thank you for that. And that's right in Karen's backyard, basically. Karen, as you know, is the president and CEO of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, ladies and gentlemen. And she is, I call her my big sister in Washington, even though she's young enough to be my little sister. She actually, I consider her to be my big sister because she's always looking out for me and for you. And nobody, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan does and has been doing it now for a long time. She's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Good morning to you.
It's good to have you back on the show as always. And it's been kind of a, you know, this is one of those months, August is, Karen, when I feel a little safer because politicians have disbanded from their groups in Washington and gone out into their regions, and I feel like when they're not together, they can't create as much mayhem. What do you think?
Well, yeah, they're not here, that's for sure. Gosh, I don't even know. That's a loaded statement, Jim. I don't even know where to start on that one. But yeah, we do sort of the countdown here in Washington until they come back. They'll be here after Labor Day. But, you know, Jim, I know you've seen the numbers. I mean, this Congress has had the worst performance. That's wrong.
Oh, it's awful.
You know,
it's awful.
They, in my view, from a business perspective, they're performing very poorly. But, you know, the public, 18% approval rating, I mean, that's
unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes a 32-33% approval rating that President Bush has. He looks downright a stellar, you know.
He looks pretty good. you know, Karen, the other day I was listening to someone. I've forgotten which one of the – it was one of the leaders of Congress, one of the Democrat leaders, one of the majority leaders. And, and I've forgotten which one it was, but it was either the – you know, it wasn't the Speaker and it wasn't Reid. It was somebody, just one of their second or third-tier guys. And somebody asked them that, just what you said. They said, well, what have you guys done this year? And the guy said, well, we passed minimum wage.
Oh yeah.
And the guy said, "No, I'm serious. You know, what are some of the things that you've done?" And the person wasn't, you know, this wasn't Fox News, you know, trying to grill a Democrat. It was a good reporter, and he said, "No, I mean, see, I'm serious. What have you guys done?" He said, "We passed minimum wage,"
wow.
And that was he had an opportunity to talk about all the things this Congress had accomplished
right.
this year, and his one thing, the only thing he could come up with. Was that they passed minimum wage?
Yeah, no, that's pretty poor. I think, they should talk about what they're doing. You know, I mean, if you went through the actual list in terms of what they're doing, I mean, look, I'm a firm believer in oversight of the administration and the regulatory agencies, and you know, all the government agencies. You know, from an accountability perspective, we want to know how our tax dollars are being spent. But you know, Jim, I mean, you watch the news, you certainly know. They're spending an awful lot of time on investigations and reinvestigations, and just going over the same things that appears that they've been going over again. And where they do pass legislation, it just seems like it is way too much. I know one of the things they're reappropriating right now is children's health insurance program, the state
right.
called SCHIP.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've taken this very small program that Republicans put together in the early 2000 that is focused on getting low-income children health insurance, and they've turned it into this, you know, $100 billion program.
Right.
The next step
towards universal health care.
Exactly, but what they can really do is focus on. There's a lot of people that program aims to help that are not getting the health insurance or not hearing mm-hmm. about it. So rather than perfecting this and using it as an opportunity to say, well, what are we doing wrong? What can we do to actually insure low-income children to make sure those who are eligible for this program actually get it? I mean, it's like, well, let's get all children in the middle class, and in some cases the upper middle class should be eligible mm-hmm. for this. It's a mess.
It is. Hold on to that thought, Karen. We're going to get Karen to help us sort this and other issues out right after these messages to Winnie Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan. She is the president and CEO of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org, and they work really hard. She and all the other folks there, including Ray Keating, which many of you know is a regular also on the show. He's chief economist for SBE Council. They do a great job on behalf of you and me advocating for us on Capitol Hill, in the White House, across the country, in the state houses, to make sure that when laws are passed, when regulations are promulgated, that they're not any more onerous on us than is necessary. And one of the things, Karen, that you were just telling us about is this SCHIP thing, this health care program for children that's about to get out of hand. And do you see this as an attempt by some to worm their way into getting the government to be the single payer for health care for everybody?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's no.
It's pretty blatant. I mean, there's not really any pretense about this on the Democrat side, is there?
Well, they say no, we're just trying to cover children. It's like, but you know, you're basically making this program into a huge entitlement that covers most children in the United States, and it would squeeze out the private sector market. There's no doubt about it. It would be a huge change in direction, and not for the better, in my opinion. But you know, it's fraught with so many problems. The program they're trying to do. I mean, it relies on increasing tobacco taxes by, mm-hmm. $0.60 to $0.80 per pack, and we know that, you know, if you raise taxes on tobacco, and this happened in New Jersey, you know, to a certain extent, that it's going to be a declining revenue source. That means it's not going to produce the type of income that you want. So where is that money going to come from? Well, it's going to come from other taxpayers, and that will be either individuals or businesses. And furthermore, the House bill actually taxes all private health insurance plans to pay for this as well. Mm. So it's this is not the way to go, in my opinion. It definitely marches. It's a slow march to socialized medicine, and
which blows you away, Karen, when you understand that Europe and Canada would love to move away from socialized medicine. They know that not only is socialized medicine not an effective way to deliver health care, but it's also bad for their economy. It has been bad for their economy. I mean, basically, the U.S. automobile industry, GM, Ford, and Chrysler have had socialized medicine, and that's the single biggest thing that has made them uncompetitive. And so why would we want to put our nation on that track?
I don't know. And that's the argument that we continue to make. And, you know, I think when we have the time to explain this stuff, which we do, I mean, people then do get very concerned about it. But, you know, there are still, you know, I wrote a column on SCHIP for Fox News, and I still get responses from people that say, well, why wouldn't we want to move to a Canadian or a European style system? I'm like, well, because it's really bad and it doesn't work, you know?
Because they wish they didn't have it.
Oh, they don't. They're never going to be competitive from an economic perspective. Mm-hmm. Extremely costly, and from a consumer perspective, I mean the waiting lines. I mean it really is quite awful. So
well, obviously the president will veto this, but will it be vetoed? Will he be able to sustain the veto?
Well, it depends. Now the House passed its version, the Senate passed its version. And anything in between their versions is still going to be very big and costly. I don't think that there's the votes to sustain even sort of a mild version of what the House passed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to go back to work. But, you know, the program does expire at the end of September, and they're going to have to reappropriate it. They're going to have to do something, whether it's a stopgap measure to keep the program going or to fully reauthorize it. But I don't think taxpayers, you know, want Congress to spend. We don't have the money to spend, and
no.
They're, you know, they're taking a program, you know, of you know, any from $20 billion or $15 billion or what, and just increasing it all willy nilly to like $100 billion over the year. And we know that's going to cost more. We never know.
Mm-hmm.
We know these programs, particularly healthcare, just explode. So and there's many instances. Again, Jim, this is SCHIP is just one program of the Congress just going crazy with tax dollars. I mean,
well,
it's out of control.
Speaking of taxes, Karen, you know, small business owners like the tax cuts we got in 2003.
Right.
Because it helped us to, it left more of our precious capital in our businesses. We took that money and reinvested it in our companies. We've grown the economy. We've hired a record employment of people now. A record number of people are employed in the United States. It's been good for the economy. Supply side economics has been proven to work. Dynamic scoring works. The government has more money than they've ever had to spend. And are we going to be able to keep these taxes down where they are? Are the tax cuts going to get renewed, do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's a good chance that they will, Jim, because first of all, you know, when the Democrats passed their budget framework, it did not include any type of extension or permanency of these tax relief measures.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're in a position where you're spending so much money either reappropriating programs or creating new ones, and you're operating in the framework that they operate up on Capitol Hill, which is basically if you cut taxes, you have to come up with, you know, a spending cut to offset it. I mean, how are you going to do that? It's going to be very, very difficult to do. So, you know, I think by the time it rolls around that these expire, we're going to be in a position where we're going to have to pick and choose, you know, which ones we want. Now, I don't know what politically what is in store for 2008, but my initial guess is it's going to be very difficult to extend them.
I want you to talk to us about 2008 when we come back after these messages. It's Tintail, actually. I'm Jim Blasingame. Karen Kerrigan is our guest. She and I will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. Karen Kerrigan is our guest. She's President and CEO of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, sbecouncil.org. Karen, tell us about SBE Council, please.
Oh, sure. We're an advocacy organization primarily here in the nation's capital. We have 70,000 members nationwide. We testify on Capitol Hill. We analyze legislative, regulatory, and other types of initiatives and look at their impact on the small business and entrepreneurial sector. We write comments to agencies. We do a lot of media and help them understand the implications of certain policy on small business. We have some training components to what we do through conferences. We have our webcast, what's called Growth Without Barriers, that is a monthly webcast. It's a really new addition to our lineup. So if people are more interested in terms of what we do, I would encourage them to visit the website sbecouncil.org. and go through some of the content there, sign up for our e-newsletter on a trial basis, and see what we do for you, what we do for small business. And I'm sure you'll see that we do a lot, and we're worth the small investment that we require from our members.
Well, and I certainly am glad to say that I've been happy to tell you go folks out there about Karen's organization now for almost 10 years, and I can promise you, she impressed me from the day one, and she's never failed to impress me in how hard she works for small business owners in Washington, across the country, and Karen, again, for all you do for small business, we appreciate it. Tell us about what you see for 08. How does the election shape
up? Oh gosh, you know, Jim, I've been chewing on this and trying to see what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, it does look like Hillary Clinton is a front runner right now, doesn't it, for the Democrats?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's just a matter. I think now what we're doing is we're trying to decide who's going to be the VP nominee.
Right. And I think with the Republicans, I just think it's an open field. I mean, when you have, you know, 27% to 30% of Republicans saying they're not sure who they're going to vote for.
When an unannounced,
or they're not happy with the current crop.
When an unannounced candidate is number three, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
You know, it really is. I think, you know, the Republican base wants Republicans to be Republicans, and, you know, I think they wish they could take, you know, a little bit from each of the current candidates right now and put it into their model candidate, you know.
Make
their,
a Stepford candidate.
Their fantasy candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's the right word. So it's going to be interesting. And you know what? I think with the House and Senate, I think Democrats will probably still hang on to the Senate. But I think the House is going to be a lot closer than what folks say.
Really?
I think some of these seats that were Republican seats that some Democrats picked up, I think they have the chance to go back to Republicans. I think it's going to be a little bit more competitive than what folks think at this time, particularly given the fact that Congress has such low approval ratings. And I've been watching some of the more moderate Democrats, you know, and some of them are voting very left-wing, and they're not voting the way representing their constituents,
mm-hmm.
certainly not the ones that are where there was Republican losses, where you know, because of the scandals and those type of things,
right.
Those individual races. So, you know, I feel like we've already been through it, don't you? Though 08 already, don't you? Are you?
Yeah, I do. And,
I think
and
we
that's
all need
the sad
timeout period.
That's the sad part. Exactly. That's the reason why I think we shouldn't even start the presidential elections until the year of the election.
Yeah, I just think of all the money. You know, you know, that's going into it, and then.
Well, I have to be honest with you, and I'm not ashamed to say this. I haven't listened to one debate.
Yeah, I've just been picking up little clippets here and there. The same here on this end.
I mean, I why would I want to hear what six or seven people say about, you know, who are never going to have a chance? Why would I want to? I don't want to hear that. And the official, the one who winds up being the candidate, they're going to say something differently in 08 than they're saying right now. So I'm going to wait until the real campaign gets going. Karen, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, my pleasure, Jim.
Give us that website one more time, please.
You bet. It's sbecouncil.org, sbecouncil.org.
Check it out, folks. I encourage you to do that. You'll find a lot of good information, including how to find out how your member of Congress voted on small business issues right there at sbecouncil.org. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.